So I'm very happy to be here, and I say that not in a kind of the obligatory beginning of a talk kind of statement, but my wife and I had a little baby daughter a few weeks ago, and being here has allowed me to get the first full night of sleep that I've had since she was born, so I really am very happy to be here. And this is to present some follow-up data on a project that I presented here 2 years ago in an earlier state of evolution. And this is a study looking at cervical cancer prevention and pap smear screening in a local Latino population in Philadelphia. And the idea here was to see whether educating women from this community using a promotora or community health worker model actually impacted screening behavior. And I want to acknowledge my collaborators on this study, especially Susana Pimentel, who is one of our promotoras, and she's one of the authors on this study. I also want to acknowledge our primary community partner involved in this study, and we used a CBPR approach here, and that was Puentes de Salud, which is a community health center in this, in the heart of this community. So I have no financial disclosures to make here. So a little bit of background on cervical cancer in Latinas. They really suffer a disproportionate burden of this disease compared to other racial and ethnic groups. They have both higher incidence and mortality. They present in the healthcare system at later stages of the disease. And they have low screening rates, and those rates vary depending on who you listen to, but there's consensus that Latinas are screened less frequently than our white or black women. And there's also evidence that Latinas have less knowledge about cervical cancer and the role that HPV plays in producing this disease compared to other groups. And there's some preliminary evidence that educating women about cervical cancer may actually improve their screening rates. And that was really what we were trying to study here in the current project. So I know everyone here, I'm sure everyone here is at least somewhat familiar with the concept of promotoras and community health workers. You know, they've been charged with a wide variety of interventions in this country from and internationally as well, with kind of some very basic interventions around health education like this project was, up through very involved interventions involving, you know, helping patients self-manage their diseases. This is a very prevalent model in Latino communities, both domestically and internationally. And I think an important point to mention is that some very heavy-hitting stakeholders at the national level have been advocating for the widespread adoption of community health workers. So the Institute of Medicine and their disparities report, HRSA, the Health Services Resources Administration, has also done a big community health worker study. So there's some momentum happening at the federal level, and they were also mentioned as a for the first time as a members of the healthcare workforce in the recent healthcare legislation. So there's a lot of momentum behind this concept. Just to present the aims here of this study, first of all was to select and train a group of promotoras from the South Philadelphia Latino community about cervical cancer, including epidemiology of cervical cancer in Latinas, the pathogenesis of the disease, and screening guidelines. Secondly, was to implement and evaluate a randomized promotora-led intervention to educate women from the community about the same topic. And finally, this is kind of a community-based participatory research aim here, and that was to enhance existing ties with Puentes de Salud, which was the clinic and community partner in this study, and the South Philadelphia Latino community, building capacity through this process. I'll talk about each of these aims in turn. Here was the promotional poster for our study, which initially I thought was a little bit racy, but ended up being very very effective in recruiting participants. So the first aim here, to talk about the selection and training of our promotoras briefly, this process was directed by our study nurse using primarily phone interviews. We had some formal selection criteria and some informal selection criteria, and I won't mention all of those, I won't read all of those, but I think an important point to mention here was the role of nonprofit organizations in helping us select our promotoras. They were really able to give us access to both the formal and informal leadership in this community, and we ended up drawing some of these community health workers from their ranks. And then the training process, we covered a lot of skills in about a total of 24-hour period of training that was spread over about 4 days. We covered some specific skills around, pedagogic skills around just teaching, since they were going to be, you know, implementing this educational intervention. We went over a lot of health-related knowledge around cervical cancer, and specifically here the female pelvic anatomy and where is the cervix and what is the cervix. Talking about the epidemiology and the fact that Hispanic women really do suffer a disproportionate burden of this disease. Talking about the role of HPV, talking about screening guidelines and strategies for prevention. And then, since this group of promotores was really involved intimately in every phase of the research, we had to go over research skills such as collecting and managing data, confidentiality, and things like that. And then we had some other areas that we explored here, which I thought was important to deal with professional boundary issues and when participants bring questions to the promotores, when it was appropriate to answer those questions or bring them to others, to myself or the study nurse. Here's a picture of our group here. So then the second aim here, to implement and evaluate a randomized promotora intervention educating women from the community about cervical cancer. This is getting into the nuts and bolts here of the study. The intervention itself consisted of two workshops which were held in a group setting. They were run by a pair of promotoras. And so there was a total educational exposure here of 6 hours for these folks. And we covered all of the relevant content around cervical cancer that the promotoras learned in their own training. The control group received usual care, and at the suggestion of the promotoras and our community advisory board here on the study, we had a crossover design where at the end of the follow-up period, the control subjects received the same intervention. Here's a flow diagram of participants through the study. We randomized 120 women, 60 to each group, and you can see we had fairly high loss to follow-up here, which was somewhat comparable to some published community-based studies that were similar. We ended up with 36 participants in the final analysis from the control group and 34 from the intervention group. And we dealt with that loss to follow-up in a couple different ways. And I should mention here that the results that I'm going to present are of those women who actually completed this study, realizing that there are some potential biases there. So our outcomes, we were primarily interested in screening behavior. So did this intervention actually impact screening rates? And we were looking at 6 months. Secondarily, we were interested in women's knowledge about cervical cancer and whether this educational intervention was actually effective in imparting the knowledge that we hoped it would. We also looked at self-efficacy as another secondary endpoint here. And then we had an exploratory outcome, which was looking at, among all of the women who followed up in the study, what predicted who received a pap smear. And I'll present all of these results here. At baseline, our randomization worked, fortunately. We had no significant differences between the two groups with respect to any of the demographic or other variables presented here. And getting to our final results, 65% of women in the intervention group were screened at 6 months compared to 36% in the control group, and that was a statistically significant difference. Looking at cervical cancer knowledge, this was measured using a 6-item questionnaire that we developed. And so at 6 months, the intervention group answered 5.4 of those 6 questions, so almost all of the questions correctly, compared with 3.5 in the control group, and that was also significant. And looking at self-efficacy, there was also a significant difference between the two groups, although a smaller magnitude of the effect there. And this is presenting the results here of our exploratory outcome, looking if we could see what factors actually impacted the receipt of pap smear at 6 months. And, you know, with the small number of participants in this study, we can see there weren't a lot of significant factors here, but the two that were was one group assignment to the intervention group, and we would expect that that would be the case. But also we showed that knowledge about cervical cancer was also associated with receiving a pap smear. So some limitations, we had a short follow-up period. We had a high dropout rate, as I mentioned. One way that we approached that was to assume that all of the participants who did not follow up did not receive a pap smear. And we actually saw the same effect between the two groups, which was still significant. And another point to mention here is the potential limited generalizability of our findings. As you may have seen from the baseline data, we had a very unacculturated population here, 100% foreign-born, with very low levels of acculturation. Very few had any English proficiency. And so I think there's limited generalizability to more established Latino groups in this country. And I should mention also, I'm not sure if it was on that slide, that the overwhelming majority of the participants in this study were Mexican. So also potential limited generalizability to Puerto Rican, Cuban, other Latino subgroups in this country. So some conclusions and implications of this work. We demonstrated apparent effectiveness of this intervention. We did so in the context of a randomized study, and one of our goals here was to bring kind of more rigor in the experimental design. A lot of community health worker studies have used quasi-experimental design. So we that was one of our goals here, although we had some limitations that I mentioned. And we, as I mentioned on the previous slide, we showed preliminary evidence of an association between knowledge about cervical cancer and screening behavior. And I think that's an intuitive finding, and it's been reported in the context of secondary data studies looking at nationally representative secondary data. But we were the first to report this association in the context of an intervention that was actually aimed at increasing knowledge about cervical cancer. And then, you know, picking up on that point, I think that has some implications for our future efforts to reduce disparities. And I think, you know, all of those efforts really should include an education component. And I think that's something that we do very poorly. Certainly in my background as a physician, I think doctors do this very poorly, educating our patients. And I think this is really an area where public health can step up and play a very important role in reducing disparities. The third aim, to enhance existing ties between our group and the community. I wanted to just mention a couple points there, and a couple lessons learned from using the CBPR approach. First of all, strong partnerships enable strong research. I had done about 4 years of work and advocacy work in this community in South Philadelphia prior to beginning this study. And, you know, having been exposed to many leaders in the community and knowing a lot of nonprofit organizations in this community really allowed us to get up and running very quickly and get this study going and complete the study in a short amount of time. By having the opportunity to present this work in different forums and at different stages in its development, we've met a lot of new groups, promotora groups, with whom we're now currently collaborating, and I hope maybe some of us can collaborate in the future as well. A couple points on capacity building. You know, this is one of the central goals of CBPR, and I think this was something that we did very effectively in this study. And I'll just mention a couple points that speak to that. One of our promotoras in this study since beginning this work is now serving on the board of directors of two nonprofits that serve the community. So that was a very nice demonstration of the leadership skills that she developed in part through this work. And another one of our promotoras was selected by the local Spanish-speaking newspaper as one of the 25 most influential Latinos in Philadelphia. And it was really interesting. She was on I should have included that the page of the paper that she was in. She was pictured next to a Hispanic Comcast executive, and then on the other side, an Argentinian cellist who was in the orchestra in Philadelphia. And one other just brief comment here, getting beyond the p-values and things that we normally don't mention and get lost in the tables of our studies and presentations, is we really watched through this process the community become very activated around this issue and very engaged in this issue of cervical cancer and disparities. And that, again, I think is going to be a very important point of reducing disparities, is really involving the individuals and communities who are disproportionately affected by these diseases. Here's a picture from the Spanish-speaking newspaper profiling this project, and this was part of our dissemination efforts of our findings. So thank you very much. I'd be willing to take some questions. I apologize, the format is a little bit unusual here since I have to leave shortly, so I'd be happy to take a few questions if anybody has them. The intervention was a series of only two workshops. So it was 2 3-hour workshops. So it was a 6-hour educational intervention.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the importance of health education. I was wondering if you could talk briefly about your staff and who ran the kids, different qualifications of the people that ran the study.
So there were two of us who were primarily involved. One was myself, and my background is as a general internist, so I'm not an OBGYN or an oncologist, but have done a lot of work just as a general internist with cervical cancer screening and cervical cancer treatment. And then the nurse who coordinated the study has done a lot of work in women's health. She's relatively young but very experienced, and directs all of the women's health work that's done at this clinic that was our community partner, Puentes de Salud. And so the two of us really did all of the training of our community health workers. And I should mention here that this project was based on an established curriculum that's been studied out in San Diego by a group there led by Ana Navarro. She's done a lot of work with promotoras, or she calls them consejeras, over the last 20 or so years. And so we took an established curriculum that we modified a little bit to the local context.
Do you remember the name of that?
It's called Por la Vida.
Oh, okay. I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you try to find out the reason the dropout? How many people?
Yeah, very good question. So we, as you might imagine from being a newly arrived immigrant population, there's a lot of flux in this community. And we were unfortunate to be getting this study going during an economic downturn as well. So, our promotoras during this study and since have been very effective in tracking down community members, both for the research work that we've done, but also, helping bring people to the clinic to get their pap smears done and things like that subsequently. And they just were not able to find these folks. You know, we heard anecdotal reports of people leaving town and going to New York to look for work, or going to, back to Mexico, or going to be with relatives in other areas of the country. So there's really a lot of flux in this community. Cell phone numbers change very quickly and disappear. And so there's some of the, usual challenges of working with mobile populations. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Matthews. Yeah.